There is a word we use to identify major characteristics of an event, person, or thing. It's called a hallmark. Webster defines hallmark as a noun. It's an official mark stamped on gold and silver articles, specific to England as to attesting their purity. It is a mark or device placed or stamped on articles of trade to indicate origin, purity, or genuineness. It's also used as a distinguishing characteristic, trait, or feature. We know that the hallmark of the body of Christ, the Church of God, Christ's followers, is that we, brothers and sisters, love each other. That's what he says. You will be known as my followers that you have love one for another. That's the hallmark, an identifier. It's visible to everyone around us because that's who we are. That's who we've become. We have Joseph, or you might know him by Joseph, or you might know him as Barnabas. His identifier is that he is an encourager, so much so that the apostles changed his name to Barnabas, and that's what they called him, because he had constant care and was uplifting and serving of those that he had, serving the brethren, encouraging the brethren. I had a supervisor. We called him the peacemaker. When I was working in projects, I won't go there, Lockheed, big company, but he was the peacemaker. We had disciplines come in, and we would go over, we'd go round and round, fisticuffs almost, on getting things done. And he would always start by going, peace. And he would use that word, peace. And then he would bring us back to what was important. He wanted the facts, he wanted the details, he didn't want the emotions. We may ask of ourselves, what is our hallmark? What is our hallmark of our family? I think the hallmark of the family of Jeff Richards is that they have great love for you, great care for you. They serve you. What are we known for? We'll do that for another time. The Festival of Tabernacles, these days that we are observing, that we have been observing, also has a hallmark. It has a visible identifier that is noticed by the world around us. Every place we go, whether it's a restaurant, the hotel, whether it's our family, whether it's friends, one another here in the hall, we have a hallmark. It's been called the kingdom effect because we live by the kingdom of God today. We live by the laws of the land, but we live by the kingdom of God today. Our living by that kingdom is visible to all. What could this possibly be? What is the hallmark of the Festival of Tabernacles? I'll give you a little background for myself. Growing up, my childhood was normal for me. May not be for you. Hopefully it wasn't. My normal life was filled with tension, anger, and criticism. I never knew if I'd overstep and then meet the price. The environment was always fraught with opportunity, especially anger. Flinching was a way of life. That's what I grew up with. To me, that was normal. At age 14, I was introduced to the church. The teaching, because I didn't know that there was a physical church until age 18. We started growing, but it wasn't enough. I didn't know how God's way worked. I didn't see it in action until 1968. Jekyll Island, went to the first feast ever, and I saw this hallmark in action. I saw this hallmark in action. I remember the Jekyll Island. We had this giant tent, maybe 3,000 people, if I remember right. It rained. It was disagreeable weather for a good part of it. But I experienced the hallmark of the feast, hallmark of the millennium, because the feast days is a shadow of the days to come, the hallmark of the coming kingdom of God. I experienced godly peace. I experienced godly peace, peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of body, and it was life-changing to me. Growing up, I had been taught a way of anger and criticism. Now I was attending the local congregation, I was attending the Feast of Tabernacles, and I saw people getting along. I saw people helping one another, people sharing with one another, people encouraging one another. It was life-changing. Hallmark of the Feast of Tabernacles, the shadow of the millennium to come, is peace. Pick a side. The world doesn't know how to achieve peace. It doesn't know the way to peace. Left, right, Democrat, Republic, up or down, no one knows the way to peace. Whether president, prime minister, emperor, king, queen, democracy, republics, dictatorship, no one knows the way to peace in this world except God. It's been suggested by historians Will and Ariel Durant, they're wonderful historians, that as of 1968, during the past 3,400 years of written history, there were 220 to 268 years of no wars. Notice I didn't say peace. Just no wars. There are 220 to 260 years free of war. And there is disagreement as to whether that number is correct. I want to add that since World War II, there have been 200 to 250 declared wars. That's the hallmark of this world. War. What does man know? What does man know? Well, let's understand. Let's go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 would be nice if I went to the Old Testament. Isaiah 59. Let's understand what man knows. Isaiah 59, verse 4. And think about society today. Think about the news you've heard, the TV programs, the news TV programs you've seen, what's taking place around us. No one calls for justice, verse 4, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. This is where we are today. Verse 6, their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Verse 8, this is where we are. The world wants peace. The world seeks peace. The world doesn't want to have wars going on. Verse 8, the way of peace they have not known. And there is no justice in their ways. They have made for themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Crooked paths to peace. And if you take that path, you shall not know peace. Now let's understand, the absence of war is not peace. The absence of war is not peace. The world is filled still with anger and hurt and pain and conflict and animosity and hatred and bitterness. There's no peace in this world. My home life as a child may not have been at war. There wasn't physicality, but there was no peace. It wasn't until I began attending with you, the body of Christ, that I began to understand peace. I began to see how God's way works and that God's way does bring about peace. Anger, hurt, pain, those are attributes that prevent us from rejoicing and from celebrating. One does not rejoice in an environment of hostility. What are we to do today, now and in the millennium? What are we learning now in the millennium? Isaiah 40, just back a few pages. If you'll join me, please. Isaiah 40. Here we have a prophetic statement taking place. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Crooked paths to peace, and you won't find peace. Now, the four gospel writers identified this as John the Baptizer, identifying Jesus Christ who would be coming. And we have, of course, partial fulfillment of this. But ultimately, the fulfillment is to come, that there will be straight paths made for us, straight paths to peace. It says to prepare the way, and the question comes up, how? In Hebrew, the word means to turn toward. To turn toward, to change. And how do we turn, or turn to turn to, let me try that again. To turn to what? We turn by preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Do you know what else the gospel is called? It's called the gospel of peace. You'll find that in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:15. It's called the gospel of peace. Make straight. That means to smooth out, to provide lead and direction, a highway for our God, that let us go up to the house of the Lord. We're going to know what peace is all about. Make straight in the desert. Peace, peace of mind, peace of heart. We'll have physical peace, then that is the hallmark of the millennium, hallmark of the kingdom of God, the hallmark of being a Christian, being a Christ follower. Jesus Christ has the title. He is called the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9 and John 14. We serve God. He is called the God of Peace, Romans 15. We have the King of Peace, Hebrews 7. We preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, and that is called the gospel of peace, also Romans 10. And Jesus Christ is identified as our peace. My congregation say I harp on some things. I harp on peace. I do. How important is godly peace in our lives now and in the lives of those living for the 1,000 years to come? Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, not 11. Hebrews 12 and verse 12 and verse 13. Or verse 12. Therefore, straighten the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You know, we can be a Barnabas. We're going to be tired. We've got some frustrations. We've got some physical issues. Strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see God. Now, there is a great warning there. We are to seek peace. We are to pursue peace. That means we have a choice. We are to be peacemakers. We'll get to Matthew 5 in a second. But we're to be about peace. It is a choice. It takes energy. It takes focus. It takes desire. It takes want to be at peace. Because without peace, without that focus, without that identifier, without that hallmark on us personally, we won't see God. Because God is the God of peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And the gospel of the kingdom of God is all about peace. All about peace. If we are not at peace, if we are not teaching peace, if we're not focusing on peace, if we're not in concert with the Prince of Peace, the King of Priests, of peace, the God of peace, living and preaching and giving the example of the coming kingdom of peace, we will miss out on the kingdom. That's what it says. Having the hallmark of peace as an identifier on us personally is that important. It really is. How do we do that? How do we do that? I mean, our world can be upside down. Our world is topsy-turvy. We're living in a world of COVID, where just last night there was exposure here in Bend. We have issues, physical issues. We have job issues. We have health issues. We have employment issues. We have financial issues. How do we have peace in our mind? Join me with one of my favorite scriptures, truly. Isaiah 26 was already used. Actually, every scripture I came up with for today and tomorrow have already been used. Repetition is good. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. How do we have peace in mind when we're going through difficulties and struggles? Isaiah 26, verse 3. You, God, will keep him, us, in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he, us, trusts in you. We trust in God. We have learned through our experience and the learning of this way of life that we trust God. So regardless of what we're going through, we can be at peace. Our world is not this world. We are looking for tomorrow. And tomorrow is all about peace. Tomorrow is all about peace. Perfect peace. I like that because when you look in the Hebrew, it's shalom, shalom. The word is used twice for emphasis, saying that it is perfect. Regardless of what we go through, regardless of what we experience, when we keep our mind on God, when we put his perspective in front of our minds, God will keep us at peace because we've learned to trust him for whatever is happening. You could put in your notes, James 3, that God's wisdom is pure and peaceable. When we look at God's wisdom, when we look at the words of God, when we are living by these words, our life should be peaceable. That's our focus. God's word leads us to a peaceful life. You know, his thoughts are beyond ours. We want vengeance. We want equality. We want our pound of flesh, if you want a little bit of Shakespeare there. God says, no, be at peace. Be at peace. I am going to read it. James 3:17. There's something I do want to bring out. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Then peaceable. Gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and God and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The next phrase I like. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Notice the fruit or the outcome of righteousness starts with peace. It's grown in peace by those who make peace. It's easy to be in conflict. It's easy to get angry with one another. I mean, the world is filled with anger and our adversary is just beside itself with anger, what's taking place. Now, this is exciting. When we put the pieces together, the clarity of God's word becomes visible. Join me in Isaiah 32. I should have told you to stay there. Isaiah 32. Wonderful addition here. Adds more to the focus. 32. Isaiah 32, verse 16. Isaiah 32, verse 16. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace. The work of righteousness, the product, the output, the what you're producing is peace. The output of those wanting and willing to be righteous before God is peace. The effect of righteousness is peace, that quiet assurance, no contention. But look in verse 18. My people will dwell in a peaceful, My people will dwell in peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. You know, there's nothing like going to your house when there's peace and quiet, when there's joy. You just need a break from the society. You've driven, 10 miles on the freeway, and people are hustling and pushing you around, and you've had a hard day, and you come to the house, and you're just at peace. There's a joy there. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. The effect of righteousness, God's righteousness is in us, and that's God's Holy Spirit. The effect of having God's Holy Spirit in us is peace. My people will live in peaceful habitations, and that should be the hallmark of our homes, peace. Peace. Those who would enter into God's kingdom, into God's realm, must be about peace, must be focused on peace, must be a peace bringer, must be willing and wanting and able to show the way of peace and be part of the process of peace today. We could ask the question, how do we do this feast? Today's the last day. How do we do with our hotels? How do we do with restaurants where they might have been understaffed and overworked and service was not the best? How do you do with those drivers on the road. I don't know if it's just me or Oregon drivers are just a little bit strong. It might be me. How'd we do? We're at the end of the feast. But see, for us, the kingdom of peace is with us. I'm getting ahead of myself. The major theme is all about peace. The church, the body of Christ, we in this room represent the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, the God of Peace, and we preach the gospel of peace. We represent the kingdom of God on earth today. The keynote word evidenced in Scripture used to describe God's coming kingdom is peace. Is peace. Are we at peace? Peace is the outcome of the works of righteousness. Peace will be the hallmark and an identifying sign that one has been called of God. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. That's his title. It's also his character. He was a peacemaker. That's who he is. That was what he was all about. He was all about peace. Today, the world doesn't know peace. Everyone believes they know the way to peace. Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, pick a side, you're wrong. Let me explain. I came up with a three-sided coin. Flip a coin. You flip a coin enough. Apparently, the averages equal out, whether it's heads or tails. It'll equal out. On occasion, it ends up on its edge. On its edge. If you want to do right, if you want to be right, flip the coin. There's your side and my side. His side and her side. There's one side, there's the other side. And both sides are wrong. There's always the side we miss, and that is God's side. And when I flip a coin, when I think about Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, it didn't matter to me. When I started researching it, they're both wrong. It's always God's side. It's that edge. When you flip a coin and you're just looking for an answer between two solutions, there's that edge. The three-sided coin. That's what we always miss. We always miss God's side. Man has tried and failed to engage peace. We had the League of Nations, probably none in here of that age. We had the United Nations. We have coalitions. We have unions. We have had partnerships, and they've all failed because man looks to power, position, and prestige for peace. We look to the Lamb of God. We look to the Lamb of God. Now, the world looks to physical power for peace, and the world is not at peace. Yet to have a lasting peace, you need power. Thankfully, the world tomorrow will be guided by that great power, the Prince of Peace, that one true peacemaker. Jesus Christ will bring with him peace, and he will make peace. He has the power to bring about peace. He is called the Prince of Peace. Let me ask a question. Is there peace on earth today? Is there peace on earth, somewhere on this planet? Some of you are already ahead. If you've been in Eureka and San Jose, you already know my answer. Yes. Yes. The peace that escapes the world is right here in this room, in you, in me. And it was given to us by Jesus Christ. John 14, please. John 14. John 14. John 14, verse 25. Jesus Christ was discussing his departure. The disciples were with him daily. They could have all their questions answered because he was right there with them. John 14, verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things I said to you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. They were facing a great trauma taking place, what was coming up. And he said, no, be at peace. My peace I give you. I'm giving you my peace. This is peace from God. It's not man's peace. Man cannot give us peace. Man doesn't know the way to peace. Man's ways don't bring about peace. But we're given the peace of God. With God's Holy Spirit, it gives us peace of mind, even as we go through trials and difficulties, because that builds character. Sometimes we don't want to go through trials and difficulties. God says, I'm letting them happen so that you can build character. But be at peace. I'm still with you. I'm still with you. The peace that escapes this world is in this room. We have been given the peace of God, a real peace, a true peace, a lasting peace. Philippians 4. Add on to that thought. Philippians 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. That's why we're here. We're here at the Feast of Tabernacles. We're rejoicing. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. I mean, we don't know how, when, or how soon Jesus Christ will return. But we're living by the kingdom of God today. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we go through trials and difficulties, we sometimes wonder, has God left us? And he says, be at peace. I'm allowing you a trial. You'll go through it, and you'll be stronger, and you'll be able to help others as they go through trials. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding, and it will guard your heart. It will protect you as you go through difficulties. It'll protect you as issues come up in life. We're given the peace of God, which surpasses the ability to explain to others. Our trust, our confidence, our understanding of the plan of God, which will guard our hearts and minds in Christ. It is his peace, a tangible, real peace that exists, and it guards or protects us. Whether we're being thrown a curve, whether people are trying to deceive us, where we're going through trials, it helps us through times of troubles and trials when we live in a society bent on destruction. Everything we are learning at the feast, everything we have learned at the feast, we keep with us and we go forward. Today we represent Jesus Christ. We represent the kingdom of God on earth. We represent the peace that is coming tomorrow. Everything we say and everything we do must now reflect that of a peace bringer as a representative of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5. We are the living examples of the coming kingdom of God. Do you feel that? Do you know that? Do you embrace that? Not only as a group, but also as individuals. Whether we're at work, whether we're at school, whether in a grocery store, wherever we are the example of the coming kingdom of God on earth, the peace that is coming on earth. When people see our example, they should see the way of peace. When our children see our example at home, they should see the way of peace. When our coworkers see us at work, they should see the way of peace. When we're at school, students, they should see a way of peace. We show the way of peace in everything we say and do, regardless of the problems, regardless of the frustrations. I had an opportunity. I got a moment. I had an opportunity. I had my own personal auditor. I'm 25 years in the company, and I was part of a management team, and we picked up certain disciplines to manage projects. And I picked up my own auditor, where I went from doing everything right to doing nothing right. And my coworkers advised certain retaliations, you should say. Yeah. I put it in God's hands, and I stayed at peace. God worked it out that the individual was transferred, and I got back to doing everything right. It was amazing. Just amazing. Matthew 5. Simply says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons The children, the word really means children, the sons of God. We're to teach our children how to be peaceful. We're to be peacemakers. We are the ones who bring peace. And especially for our young people, our little people. We're to teach our children, those precious future sons and daughters, the way of peace. We show them by example. We show them by what we say. We show them by what we do. We show them as their guide, as we are patient peacemakers within the family. Peace should be the hallmark of our families. Peace should reside in our residence. It should be an identifying mark at home, at school, wherever we are. Remember Hebrews 12. Pursue peace. Make the effort. Make the thought. Use your knowledge. Be determined to bring about peace. Peace could elude us. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. For me, I have some hot buttons, especially when I drive. I'm on the road a lot. And I'm aware of those. So I try and back up from them. I'm always aware of what could push me. Pursue peace. Make peace our way of life. How have we been doing here at the feast? We're at the end. Today is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Have we been the example of peace? Have we been patient with others? Have we been patient with inconvenience and disappointment? Are we the peacemaker, whether dealing with one another, dealing with our children, dealing with a spouse, dealing with traffic, dealing with a restaurant, dealing with hotel personnel, whatever? How have we been doing? We're pretty much heading on our way home now, but after tomorrow. And one point of many that we should take with us is that we are peacemakers. That is a hallmark of being a Christ follower. That is a hallmark of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is a hallmark of being part of the body of Christ. We are peacemakers. Whether at home, at work, at school, that's the identifier. And as a body of Christ, in the shadow of things to come, in the shadow of the millennium, that's going to be peace. Peace. We have been given the peace of Christ in order to show the world the way of peace. We don't create crooked paths. We don't create obstacles to peace. In all that we say, in all that we do, in all that we think, in all that we are, we're about peace. And by doing so, we glorify our great God for the calling that he has given to us. And we set the hallmark, the identifier of the kingdom of God upon us. Last verse, I promise, Romans 12. We'll conclude here. Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 9. Sometimes Bibles have little subject headings. Mine says, behave like a Christian. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Man, you have to be zealous for this way of life. Be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. This is a way of life. This is all about a way of life. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. It's so easy to want to get our own back, isn't it? Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep or have sorrow for those who sorrow. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if possible. Verse 18, if possible, and it is, and it's our job to do this, if possible, as much as depends on you, and it does. It depends on us personally. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as depends on us. And it does. It's a choice. When God called us, it was a choice. We were called to repent. It was a choice. God forgave us. He gave us his Holy Spirit. Now we live by the kingdom of God today. And as much as depends on us, live peaceably with all men. And when we do that, we live with the hallmark of the kingdom of God. We represent the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace. We preach the gospel of peace. Be at peace.